Wednesday evening, 3:13:24. We're going to continue on with the Office of the Prophet, Part 3. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Revealeth here means to reveal, to advertise, appear, bewray, bring, carry, lead, go, captive, depart, disclose, discover, exile, be gone, open, plainly publish, remove, or reveal. That's a lot of words. He revealeth. We're going to do just a little recap here, and then we'll get into the scriptures. A man is called a prophet. A woman is called a prophetess in the scriptures, which nowadays they just say prophet. Rick Renner, he in his book about apostles and prophets, he said there's two kinds, those that hear and those that see. In the Old Testament, the word seer or seer, I like to say seer because that's more appropriate because, you know, they see visions. A seer sees visions. Or I guess dreams, because some dreams could fit into that. All right. And the Strong's, this is what a prophet is. It means to prophesy, speak or sing by inspiration, in prediction or simple discourse, an inspired man, or in the case of a prophetess, an inspired woman. The same would apply, you know, there. Okay, Numbers chapter 12. Verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. So prophets are given to dreams and visions. All right, now go to Deuteronomy 13. It's going to be, start with verse 1 there. If there arise among you, verse 1, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer. In other words, if it isn't in line with God's will, I would stay away from it. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to trust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. I know there's been times, especially through these last 7 years, you know, where one would say one thing and one would say another. See, don't know what to believe. Do I believe that they're evil? Not necessarily so. Like I said, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, and there may be others that might disagree with this, but whatever you know, that's what you're prophesying or whatever is going to be based on, because you're coming through a human soul. This is a human vessel. And just because somebody kind of gets off on that because they don't necessarily have a higher revelation maybe about something, doesn't mean they're a false prophet. Okay? Now, he's talking about a false prophet here, someone that turns you away from God and to follow another god. False prophet. Okay? All right, 2 Peter, because I know there's a whole lot of soul stuff. You know, our souls get in the way. We do the best. It's like we prophesy in part, and we, you know, it's just based on what we know. So, I mean, God gives us words, and we have to be careful with that. But anyway, We don't necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you know what I mean. That's why the prophets say, well, look, when we get into the New Testament about judging prophets, you know, judging. You know, let one prophesy and let the other judge, or whatever the others judge. Okay, 2 Peter 1. Let's start with 19 there. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. The day star is, what I get from this is revelation, knowledge, day star. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I think it was Brother Hagin was talking about this woman that always prophesied. She'd always said, you know, I can't remember how he worded it, that she'd say something about being scared or something. You know? Sometimes you get scared. Yeah. So, you know, we're not going to, you know, do what they did in the old covenant. If somebody prophesies something, it's not exactly right, but they're doing their best to yield to the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? So you can kind of discern, especially if you've got any understanding at all. Okay. Prophecy is not by the will of man, but by the Holy Ghost, like we talked about last week, about wind and the sails. Like, you know, a prophet can't just prophesy on their own. But when the wind of the Holy Spirit catches the sail, I mean, you're sitting in your ship and you're waiting for the wind to catch the sail so you can move. Well, you got to move with the Holy Ghost. That's kind of the parallel there. All right, I want to focus on one Old Testament prophet tonight in this segment. That's the prophet Elisha. He wasn't as flamboyant as Elijah, but I think he did more things. He did a lot of things by the Spirit. And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's very obvious by the things that he did. All right. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon the king, the priest, and the prophet. And that's why everybody went to the prophet. And nowadays, like I've taught before, this is what I believe about it. The highest thing that a prophet can do is to confirm to someone what God has already spoken to them. You hear from God. And if a prophet confirms it, even that much more the better. Okay, we don't look to prophets to tell our future. That's a fortune teller. Okay? All right. All right, 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to read till I can read. I mean, I have quite a few, much to read, but it's not real long. But I still have several chapters here. And we won't finish with Elisha tonight. We'll probably finish next week. All right, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. See, prior to this, we left off last time, whenever Elijah had his meltdown in the mountain, you know, up there, and he was running from Jezebel, and he said, there's nobody left but me. And the guard says, I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And he said, I want you to go anoint this other guy to take your place. All right. So he's been serving Elijah here. A lot of people say 10 to 12 years. He did menial tasks, washed his dirty cloaks or whatever, the robes, or took care of him. All right. I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know, hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. I think he was afraid he was going to miss the anointing if he left him. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know. Hold ye your peace. And I was just shut up. None of your business. Get out of my face. Like everybody and their dog knew about it. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. You know, it could be a payback. Because when Elijah is, or is somebody at the door? Oh. When Elijah first put his mantle on him, he said, Well, let me go home and take care of my family and do what I need to do. And then he said, Well, what have I done to thee? You know, and he kind of walked off. I'm thinking, maybe this was payback. Could have been. See if he was going to go back now. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. In other words, if the Lord wills. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. Notice this is horses in a chariot, not God's usual transportation with the creatures. You know, you see in other places in Scripture, these was with horses. Are there horses in heaven? Evidently. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, Ye shall not sin. Which was kind of characteristic of him, because remember the servant of the Lord, the one that the woman... I can't remember. It had to do with a woman. But anyway, he hid the prophets in the cave while Ahab was trying to pursue them and all of that kind of stuff. So he said, Go tell Ahab I'm here. And he said, No, if you do that, I'll do that. And you're going to run off somewhere. The Lord's going to carry you away somewhere and drop you somewhere. And then he's going to kill me because I lied. He'll say, I lied. So this must have been characteristic of him. He was there one day and another, you know, he ate something and ran 40 miles. So, you know, he was unusual. Did he run? What are you doing?
40 days in the food.
Okay. Well, he ran a long way anyway. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. They all said they believed the Lord was going to carry him away. But they didn't really believe it was going to heaven, I guess. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from hence any more death or barren land. So we already see the prophet in operation right here. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. So immediately the anointing begins to operate in him. Two instances right here, just on his way home. Like I said, he did a lot of stuff. He's probably talked about more than any, several chapters about what he did. All right, let me get a drink. We'll go on to chapter 3. All right, now Jeroboam, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, which was Ahab and Jezebel. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the signs of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheepmaster and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jeroboam went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Which we know the kingdom was rent because of what Solomon did. And he said, Which way shall we go up? And he answered, The way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. In other words, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even give you a glance. I would not pay any attention to you. I would not look toward thee nor see thee. Now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. So the minstrel, we know about minstrels, don't we? What did that do? He was needing to hear the Lord, and that minstrel would play, and then the Spirit of the Lord would come. The wind would hit his sails. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. When all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore Moab to the spoil." And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities on every good piece of land, cast every man his stone, and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir-Hareseth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. Yeah, just because of God. Who honored, or a man that honored God, God delivered Israel. See, Jeroboam had 11 tribes, and Jehoshaphat had one, because that was God's promise. God said that David would be left at least one. Yeah. All right. We see God's battle plan revealed to Elisha and passed on to the leader, the king. Even though he was a wicked king, Jehoram, or whatever it is. Jeroboam, sorry. All right. Huh? I'm going to look at that. Jehoram, you're right. There is a Jeroboam somewhere in here. Okay. All right. No, his daddy was Ahab. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria. Okay? Let's get it straight. All right, we see the battle plan. You know, we've talked about how God gives the battle plan to the apostles and prophets in the new covenant. So this is what happened with the prophet in the old covenant to work with the leader. They call upon the Lord. Okay, even through King Jehoram was evil, God honored Jehoshaphat because he was in league with him, which probably Jehoshaphat probably should have not even been. Jehoshaphat had a little problem with that. He was a good king, but Hezekiah kind of had a difficulty with that too, I think. Okay, now let's go to 4. Like I said, we're going to read through here, and we're going to see the way the prophet operated in the Old Testament. Okay, verse 1 there. Now there cried a certain woman, or chapter 4, verse 1, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." This is the story I was trying to remember a while ago. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more," and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he returned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on a day when he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither a new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came into the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi's servant, Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she called him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Pretty cool, huh? Prophet's reward here, kind of, right? Because of that. All right, we're going to keep going here. Let me get another drink. Done a lot of talking the last few days. All right, 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So he poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, Pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full of ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, What shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, Give the people they that may eat. For thus saith the Lord, They shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. So prophets don't just prophesy. They receive wisdom from the Lord. We'll look at, like I said, when we get into the New Testament, we learned a lot of things from Brother Hagin about the office of the prophet, him being a prophet. So there were gifts in operation here that we'll speak about then. Okay. All right, let's keep going. We've just got three more chapters. Okay. All right. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith set Naaman my servant to thee, sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, He leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now keep in mind here, Gehazi was probably in training. I think he just lost his future profession. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags, with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the lower, or to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence camest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? The prophecy therefore Naaman shall cleave, the leprosy therefore Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. I remember Brother Hagin one time telling in one of his books about the Lord took him, and he was in the back seat of a car when these people that went to his church, or one of the women, were committing fornication or adultery. That's what happened here. He lied to him. No, I didn't go. I didn't go anywhere. Yeah. Well, my heart went with thee when you were doing that. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going here. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, and we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. As he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it into the thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it. Now keep in mind here, the prophet's not doing anything but what the Holy Spirit's telling him to do. It's not the prophet doing it. Yeah, he's carrying out God's orders. It's God performing these miracles. Okay? Have you ever known of iron floating? All right. Verse 8. Then the king of Assyria warned against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. Here's again with these battle plans. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? The prophet's telling them what's going on. And this Syrian's thinking he's got a mole in his camp. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Wow. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant and the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and the servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what in the world are we going to do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Wow. That's one of my favorites right there. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Kind of like Elisha or Elijah commanding it not to rain for 3.5 years. Joshua, you know, I don't know if Joshua was a prophet or not, but the sun stood still. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. It came to pass, when they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, When he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. They just got all befuddled, didn't they? Ended up some right in the middle of somewhere where they didn't want to be. This is what God did. All by the word of the prophet. He represented the God in the Old Testament. They still do, but their office is a little bit different. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So what he did, they were no more going to be ravaged by them. They left them alone because of what they did. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. They'd come to our house, they'd go, oh, that's dove. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. She hath hid her son. It's horrible. Sounds like our day, doesn't it? And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Why do they always want to go after the man of God and blame him? Blame that MAGA bunch, you know? They're the ones, it's their fault. Someone came out and said, Little Lake and Riley, it was Trump's fault that she got killed. I'm going. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elder sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door, and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? While he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? All right, chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we still sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. The Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." See, they're starving to death because they're being, what do they call it, when an army would come in and they would starve the people out, and they'd go in and take them out. What do you call that? I don't know. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were." They called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the fields, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city." He didn't believe the prophet. The prophet said, "You're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it." And one of his servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, there are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say that they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. Let us send and see. They took thereof 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. It came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, "Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. All right, I'm going to stop there. Go ahead.